Now, we're 20 minutes west of Hamilton, into Kōwhai, with Margaret and husband Bill Bennett at Summerglow Apiaries. The couple started beekeeping in the late 70s before spearheading the establishment of the now highly revered and trusted quality trademark UMF for Manuka honey. Their UMF license number 1001 is the first ever issued.
That's what we started with 40 odd years ago. It's our store shed and workshop area. But we're going now down to the shed that has all our bee boxes and beekeeping equipment and vehicles and extracting room, packing room. It's our son-in-law and one of the beekeepers. It's our hives are citrus and magenta colour with the name Summer Glow written on them. And
why citrus and magenta?
Just two colours we thought looked good.
Fair enough, they do.
We thought farmers, you put your hives onto people's properties and people are proud of their farms, and you have your hives looking nice. It helps the farmer to be proud of his property rather than trashy old falling apart bits of wood.
So that shed up the top there, is that where you used to do a lot of work? And
yep.
Is it redundant now? Or
no, it's our store shed and stores drums of honey, one section of it, and a workshop. We're now coming into the main honey house.
Oh, it smells gorgeous, doesn't it? It smells like honey.
We're so used to the smell, we don't notice that people say that. Oh, I can smell the honey.
Goodness me, there's a lot up there as well, isn't there?
Yes, they're all empty boxes. They've had the honey extracted out of them. At the end of the honey flow, we take those honey boxes off the hives, bring them back here, and then they'll go into the extracting room to have the honey extracted out of them. Those particular boxes are, at this stage of the year, are ready to go back onto the hives in summertime.
At the moment, we are finding beekeepers, ones who thought they were going to make their fortune out of beekeeping, they're finding it's not quite like that, and some of them are now starting to go out or reduce their hive numbers and that sort of thing. But we've been in the industry 40 odd years, and we're hoping that there will be some of the ones that keep on going through that survive. So
in 1976 we went beekeeping, and in the early 1980s, when the research about Dr. Mullen's work came out, bees could easily accept what was said. It was like science was proving what his uncle had told him many years beforehand. We produced a bit of Manuka honey, and we had it tested, and we found that our Manuka honey had the attributes, the health-giving attributes that are unique to Manuka honey. We thought, oh, this is great. And we concentrated all that time just as being producers of the honey. Honey was sold as Manuka honey internationally and locally, but there wasn't a great emphasis to keep telling people what was the goodness of Manuka honey. We decided things were very tough financially for us, and Bill had a vision that why don't we sell this honey, this Manuka honey that we produce, what about sell it ourselves? Right, how are we going to tell people in the world about it? And somebody had mentioned once to Bill about websites, internet. Now, this is back in 1995. Internet was in its infancy. And we developed a website to tell people all around the world about Manuka honey. Then we thought, right, how about we get this honey into markets and shops in the international markets, retailers? But we have beekeepers, we don't know anything about marketing at all. So we went to visit Trade Ends. Trade Ends is the predecessor of NZTE, And they came to the conclusion that some standards are needed to identify Mānuka honey and measure it so that the consumer is assured that he is getting the real McCoy, getting real Mānuka. In 1997, they called two meetings with the view to we need standards. And those two meetings led to the formation of the Active Mānuka Honey Industry Group, AMHIC, which then a year later, when the name UMF was devised, it became AMHA, the Active Mānuka Honey Association, in 1998. And then a few years later, it became known as the UMF Honey Association.
So you pioneered that, really, didn't you?
Yes.
Out of your own back pocket, just asking questions and trying to find the answers. What is UMF? What does it stand for?
It stands for Unique Mānuka Factor. They came across that name because Dr. Peter Mullen had been at those two trade-ins meetings in 1997. He had been commissioned to find a name for that property. Because up until then, the honey was known as Active Mānuka Honey. But there was no indicators, or we needed some identification and a name for it. And he was in Wellington, I believe, at a cafe outside, and the sun was beaming down onto his head. His head is like Bill's with no hair. And he jokingly, with the man he was with, he said, oh, need some sunscreen on there, SPF. UMF, Unique Mānuka Factor. They had it.
Because there's different grades, so you can have 5 or 10, or and you do 16.
We're going to be doing 12, UMF 12, UMF 16, and UMF 22. The grading of it indicates the strength or Mānukaness of the honey and how intense that honey has got, or the potency of the honey. So that the lower the gradings are a nice food, or could do a bit of support for your health, and you go the higher gradings, the more potent it is and the more effective.
So James, where are we?
We're in a little bee site here, which is off the Ngarawahia Road, that was part of the initial bee sites that my father-in-law Bill started his business with. It's a little grassy area with a pungas and ferns and some surrounding willows. And in this site there's about 50-odd beehives that have just recently finished their duties for the spring, at least, raising new queens for our outfit. So we've, out of these 50-odd hives, we've produced nearly 2,000 queens. I'll just give them a little puff of smoke in the front of the entrance of the hive, and that just calms the bees down and lets them know that we're here.
Are you not scared with your bare hands in there?
No, well, I mean, I could put gloves on, and a lot of people do when they work hives, but I prefer the feel of the hive tool and the frames, and you can tell when you're being too rough because the bees will let you know. and a sting, not that it ever stops hurting, you do kind of get used to it. And you can see a little hive tool here, and I can scrape the stingers out. We do get stung regularly. I sort of liken it to, say, if you're a welder and you're getting sparks off a grinder or off a welder on your skin, it hurts as well.
But it's part of the job.
It's part of the job, yeah. The face is probably the worst place to be getting stung. That's why we do wear our veils. I'm just looking through to see if the queen wants to say hello.
Wish there's lots of bees on that one.
Here's my queen.
Oh, yeah.
She's floating around here.
She's quite a different sort of colour,
eh? She's got a pointy backside, and she's probably the most well-fed bee in the whole of the whole hive.
No,
so,
sort of stripes on her back.
No. So she's, I won't pick her up because sometimes it can damage them. But yeah, she's nice and golden and happy.
She is pretty.
Hmm. But I mean, essentially, genetically in her full makeup, she's identical to all of these other worker bees. The difference is that when she was pupating, she was fed a different type of diet. The other bees feed her a different diet, and her ovaries and all of her other parts grow larger and more prominent. So she's able to lay eggs, mate with drones and lay eggs.
We have been involved in the direction of UMF right from day one. The first 4 years, 1998 to about 2002, Bill was on the executive committee of the UMF Association. And then he found that he's got to put more time into his hive work because it was taking a fair bit of time. And so I came in then, and I had been on the association from 2002 to about 2022.
And you're stepping down now, though, aren't you?
Yes.
Any reason behind that?
Oh, just age. Let the new blood come in. And I still have a very good relationship with the board, so I often say I'm still niggling in the background, keeping an ear to the ground, and just to see that it is heading in the direction.
Well, where do you see the industry going?
What we need is outcome research. Outcome research into what the honey can do for the consumer. Once you do that, the consumer is given a reason to want to buy the honey. It's not just a number. It's not just a name.
So you're moving it away from a food product to a...
more of a nutraceutical product.
Yeah, originally when we first started, we wanted to get this honey to people who would benefit from it. And we tried to develop on what they call and refer to as the nutraceutical benefits of the honey.
That was Margaret Bennett and her husband, Bill. You also heard from their son-in-law and beekeeper, James. Margaret referred to Dr. Peter Molan, a lecturer from the University of Waikato. For 3 decades, his research work focused primarily on the use of honey as a medicine. You can read more about his research on our webpage.